Another day that we can be here. Now, as we see in front, the signs fulfilling what you have said in Christ Jesus in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Those signs, those words that our Lord spoke of are far more fulfilled, much more than it was 100 years, 50 years, 20 years ago. For we see, Lord, the culmination, we see the accumulation, Father, of all this prophecy, all just coming together now. Even, Lord, as we are standing here before you today, the crisis, O Lord, in Syria. All this peace talk, O Father. And any time, Father, just something would trigger off. And Lord, the war would start and bring forth, O Lord, all those army from all sides down to that area. And we know, Father, Lord, we can see the political situation in America, how the campaign has been going on, and the politicians, oh Lord, each have their own agenda, the thing that they want to do, and they promise the people of America. We know, Father, they are all lies. It's just something to get the vote of the people. And when they are voted in, Father, we know those agenda, they are hardly, O Lord, being carried out. O Lord, we know also in Europe the situation that's there. With all the refugees, O Lord, going to that direction. And many, Lord, have died in the sea. Even across the land, it seems, Father, you look down from the heavens above, and we, the people of the world, just wondering, is there a God? And there are those there that are so much against the Christian faith, and even have been questioning, oh Lord, for years, if your God is a loving God, why did he allow these things to be? Year after year, people die of war, famines, pestilences, people killing people. We know, Father, Lord, from your word alone, that you create the heavens and the earth, and you put mankind upon yourself for one purpose, that you may have a people. A people not robotic, a people that has feeling, that can make a decision, a choice, to say, Father, we love you. We love you because you love us. Not that we love you because we are supposed to say we love you, like a machine, like a robot. And we are thankful, Father, for what we have received and understand. That there is a people ordained to eternal life. And we know, Lord, creation are such that out of the billions and billions of people there be, there are only just a small percentage that you have called, that you have sifted through, that you have purged sin out of them, that they be children of the living God, be a part of your family. This we understand. But for the unbeliever, for those that are unborn again, they do not have this understanding. They don't have that revelation. So that which we have today, standing here before you, if we be truly your children, Father, help us therefore, Lord, to rejoice in the word, to love you, and to love one another, truly love from the bottoms of our heart, not lip service, Father. So now as for prayer, once again, we ask for your blessing now, Father. You take the word and break it down, Father, to us, individual. Not that the message is for somebody else, but for us. If we can look at what you want to tell us so far, we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we're so many years already into the Word of God, into this life of being called out from traditions, from organization, from the spirit of the harlots. That knowing all that which we have, learn from the Word of God. What is it to us? How do we apply it in our own life? So when we come to this book of James, once again, we have already laid the foundation, the last two chapters, so the rest of it will not be too difficult to understand on some of those verses. We know that Jesus said, if you love me, keep my word. And we know that many people don't keep God's word because they can only say with their mouth that we love the Lord, but they don't keep God's word. And Jesus said, be you not only hearers of the word, but be doers of the words. And when people hear the kind of verse like that, they kind of let the word go in one ear and out the other. And that's why we always say that don't need grace and disgrace. By grace I must say through faith. And they all are the quote, by grace. And not understanding what it means to say that we have grace or that we have faith. That we are justified by faith. Now I said this before, the Martin Luther have a problem with this book. They call this book a piece of straw. You know, he really had a hard time. He hardly even touched on this book at all. And he was always, if you ever look into it, he argued about the word justified. Yes, I'm justified by faith. You know. But what is faith with work? How can a man be justified by, how can a man be saved by work? If work is work, then it's no more grace. So that's how you look at it, because what Paul said in the book of Romans. You struggle with this book. And yet this book is so simple. And yet, though simple as it may be, 5 chapters, people read it, believers read it, yet still not following and doing it. Simply in this book, James is saying about faith that works. Believing, doing, manifesting.
We say we believe, then we do it, then we manifest it. That's why there's always the three things in the Bible: justification, sanctification, Holy Ghost, baptism. The shout, the voice, the trump. The opening of the seal, the revealing of the seal, and the manifesting of the seal. There's always three phases in everything. So we can say we are a believer. We say we believe. But we don't do it. Then what? There's nothing. Because even the devil believes. And he trembles. The devil knows what is all about salvation. He knows what the Bible says. He knows what the Bible says about them. See? So we need to have to understand this. So now we go to chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that you shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to brother the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the sheep, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small ham, whithersoever the governor list. Now, when we look in these four verses, remember that the Bible is written in Hebrew and Greek, and they don't have full stop, no comma, no semicolon. It's just all a bunch of letters. And it's very hard to know where to break off. Now, so if you want to read this chapter now, as I said, there's no chapter to begin with. It was just only created when the Bible was translated so that people could refer to it. Instead of saying the book of James somewhere in which line, it's going to be hard to find. So they create this chapter and then they create this verse. Now this creation of chapter and verse can really give problem. Now if we read verse 1, it says, my brethren, be not many master, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Thus the next verse 2, the first part, is it a part of verse 1? Or is it not? So we read it like this: my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. Or do we read verse 2 as part of verse 2? For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is the perfect man, and able also to brother the whole body. So now you see what I'm talking about, scriptures? Because I have been looking into this a few days, and I'm trying to know how on earth this word is supposed to be read. Or was it James expressing in a compound words, compound meaning to it? And I believe there is really a compound meaning here. Let me just analyze and help you along to understand. If we put the first sentence or phrase or clause, it should be a clause, I would say that should be a clause. Of the second verse, the first one, the first clause, to verse 1, then we would probably have an understanding here. Alright, first here, James said, for the brethren, my brethren, be not many master. The word master is here. Well, it's just a word that can have, well, the way it is translated, give us a meaning as if that we are the boss. Well, it is. But the word master basically should be translated as somebody who has the degree. Not the degree in the sense that's going to university and take a degree. Alright, the degree in the sense that the capability and the knowledge, okay, to pass something to the people. So it should be translated in many cases as be not many doctors. Now when we say doctors, you may be thinking of one who examines your heart and your body. But a doctor could be a one who is an engineer. A doctor could be the one who is a lawyer. Is that right? So the word doctor, people always think doctor. I said doctor you, huh? Trying to fix you. So engineer trying to fix something too. Laws and lawyers trying to fix something. You see, sometimes they are liars. So in that sense, so when he said, be not many masters, be not many teachers. In this case, here is that James is talking about the people. He said, here, don't try to be teacher, don't try to be master and try to impart something. Now here, if we were to take what he said here, do not be instructors. Be not many instructors. He said, knowing that we shall, because we be referring to those who wanted to be teachers, who are teachers. Okay. Now if you are called to be a teacher, it's okay. If you are not called to be a teacher, that's what, don't try to be. Be not many, because many who are not called wanted to be. And he says that, knowing that we shall receive the greater judgment, condemnation. For in many things, we will say, we offend a lot of people. We offend all. You know, we put that in the first part. Now look at this, how true they mean. That's why I said this many times, the person who stands on the pulpit are the one that get a lot of blame, a lot of condemnation. Huh? Oh, you know, I was offended by you because you said this. You know. And then somebody misread the thing. Oh, are you trying to preach this like that? You know, so, you see, we offend people. Whether we offend the people in the right manner or in the wrong manner, right manner in the sense that you speak the truth, they get hurt. Or that you offend the people because you are preaching false doctrine. So you get condemned. You are judged by God and being judged by men. No doubt about it. Is it not true? Yes. So you know what? I believe that if you remember what Jesus said, and if you look at the day of Jesus Christ, he went out there preaching. Alright, even when John, we would be John the Baptist, but there's nothing much we can use of John as such. But Jesus Christ is a good example. Now he went out there, he preached to the many thousands of people. And he preached very simple and usually using parables. And yet the people really do not understand. But that is good enough to satisfy them. Because the deep things in the parables, they were not revealed to them. But when it comes to the time when he was, for example, walking in the Jerusalem, in the temple area, you know, everybody was minding the temple. I mean, it's beautiful because Herod came along and filled it with gold here and decorated with this special architecture design, you know, beautiful, actually. There was a mosaic on the floor and everything, you know. So, they're always talking about how beautiful this is and so on and all that, you know. And then Jesus just stood there and said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Did he explain anything else? No. And people were offended by what he said. The religious people were offended by what he said. Even I guess the disciple probably was offended a little bit. Because he never said anything else to clarify. He doesn't have to. They were offended because he spoke. And then another time, you know, he said, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you do not have eternal life. Did he explain it? And people said, oh my goodness, what kind of preacher is this? A false prophet. Huh? You know, and then the disciple did not know until after the Pentecost. You know. And I, you know, maybe the disciple asked you, well, why don't you explain to the people properly? You left things hanging in the air. And that's why here, James is putting this out. You know, many times as a preacher, when we preach, there are words that are not explained to the end, not clarified, because, you know, we are not having a little seminar where we can discuss things and you can ask questions. It's a preacher that takes time and he preaches. But there are a lot of things that might not be explained in detail because there are so many things to say. So if people get offended on that, yes, they will. And that's one thing what I began to realize what Jesus said. Take it how you hear. And that's the thing that have been with me for many years. Take it how you hear. How did the people hear Brother Branham's preaching? Did they understand what Brother Branham was saying? Huh? When he came to Daniel 70 weeks, 3.5 years or 7 years, how did they hear? You know? And so this has been going on, and denomination have accepted Brother Branham on this, and the people in the extreme in the anti-message have just taken the call without understanding. So that is the thing about it. You see, why did Jesus Christ preach parables? And the disciples didn't understand. Not just the man, the disciples who were with him. Until Jesus Christ called them to sit down together. And he expounded to them, said, to you, it is make known the mystery. And he told them, he said, well, do you understand now this first two parables? They said, yes, we do. Because Jesus said, if you don't understand it, you cannot understand the rest. And you know what? When the Holy Spirit was come, then they understand. You need the Holy Spirit to understand. That's what Robert said. Without the Holy Spirit of baptism, you were not able to understand the word. You know, that's why when I can only talk about myself because that's my testimony. You know, when I backslid for 2 years, after I have Jesus Christ as my Savior, there was, before I was 12 years old. Then after I entered into the secondary school, the first year. It was in the first year of secondary school that I backslid. For 2 years. And when the Lord brought me back to Him, you know, I cried my heart out. And then I determined that I need to know. Lord, I need to know. I need to have your spirit, your baptism, fill me. And I told the pastor, give me a room. Because it was the church is just a building and you have several rooms up there. I said, I need the room. I can spend days in fasting and praying. And I was there. I don't know for how many days. And I was fasting and praying there. And I seek the baptism of Holy Spirit. I seek their understanding. Then when the word was opened up to me, I began to understand. Then I started to indulge myself into the word. That's why when the message came, immediately I saw it. You know, even though I know Brother Branham's ministry, I didn't know he had the message. When I read the book, I said, what is this? I want to know truth from you, Father. I cannot. This man is saying that the Trinity is wrong. And in just one statement he said, the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three persons of the same substance, God has to make three gods, or else language is not language. You can read that in the book. And that was, when I came to that page, I think that was probably not within the first chapter of the book. I just leave it aside. He says, Lord, I need to know. I don't want to know from this man. I want to know from your book. And I took the Bible for almost a month, fasting on and off. I said, God, you show me. And that was when the wonders of the Godhead was opened up. Then eternal hell is no such thing. Baptism in Jesus' name is the only way to go. Three things were shown to me. You know. And I realized how important it is. Then when I start to read Brother Branham's book, hear what he preached, and I began to understand now. I said, I need to know what he's saying, what is right and what is wrong. You see, how important it is to take heed to what Jesus said, and to hear what the Spirit says, not what the preacher say. Not just what Jesus said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. Well, I tell you, he said it literally, right? Eat his flesh. What is he talking about? Eating his flesh? Drinking his blood? Destroy this temple in 3 days, I raise it up. Temple! The mind thing about the temple as a literal temple. You see, the Spirit of God is not showing it to you. We will take everything. This is what he meant. Just exactly this, literally. You see. Don't hear what the man said. Take it how you hear, what you hear, what the Spirit is saying. And I tell you one thing that is true, that people go to church many times, they hear and then they really don't hear. And the thing is that you really hearing, you learn. People learn when you really hear. You understand that? So now what we see is that if Paul, if Jim was talking about this, that if you want to be teacher, remember you get a greater condemnation because you offend many. Huh? Now, in this sense, James is telling people, don't be one like that. Deny yourself. Don't try to be somebody, a boss, somebody around.
That, oh, you know, I'm a teacher, I'm a deacon of the church, I preach like this, and this is the way that you must follow what I said. This is the way to go, this is the doctrine to go.
And when you start preaching things that are not true, what then? You know. And so Paul said to the church, I think was it Corinthians? You have not many fathers. You have thousands of instructors, but you don't have many fathers. Huh? The word instructor there is quite different from the word here. The word instructor here there is like a schoolmaster who try to give you instruction this and that in school. But yet they don't lay the foundation of the word. Alright, so we see Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So be not many master, be not many instructor. In saying that, James is trying to say, learn. Take your position and learn. But we know, of course, in this time message, a lot of people, they just wanted to be preachers. Alright, let's continue here. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. And also able to better the whole body. Now, these are the compound coming here to this verse is not only just the preachers, just the person who wanted to be master, but every one of us. Because Paul is writing this to those 12 tribes. Alright, 12 Jewish tribes that were scattered, and those that have believed in Christ, those that were born again. So don't try to be, you know, many teachers, and your word will offend people, whether right or wrong. And then he said, in this way, next one he followed, if any man offend not in word, now, in a general way, if we do not offend in words, the same is a perfect man, able to brother the whole body. Now, let us not be offend people with how we speak. Alright? To individual one. You understand what I'm saying? Not as a preacher here preaching the truth to hurt people. I'm talking about when you relate yourself to one another. Let the year be year, let the name be name. As simple as that. But sometimes, you know, we do not want to tell the truth. Many times we scared that we offend a person, therefore we excuse ourselves. You know. So let us speak the truth in love. If you don't like a certain person's behavior and need to correct it, go ahead and tell the person. That's not a way to behave like this and like that. And we feel that we don't want to say it because that person might be offended, and then we get into an issue with the person. Then, what are we supposed to do? You know. It is good that we be sincere and open up one to another. You see that? I know it's good, difficult sometimes. But then at least we do not offend in word. When we say no, we mean no. When we say yes, we mean yes. Don't give an excuse. Later on we found that it was just an excuse that you actually are not telling me the truth. Then therefore you have offended somebody. Offend me by not telling the truth. So if you are able to bridle your tongue in saying the right word, and the word that offensive word is being controlled, your emotion don't burst out. Because that's the wrong spirit to begin with. We're supposed to have the spirit of Christ. So don't let our emotion, that sensual man that is inside us, if we let it come up and then we say things we want to, it's unchristian. When we are able to control our words, not offend people, then we have actually bridled the whole body. And here, James began to say one thing in verse 3 and 4. We put bits in the horse's mouth. You know what a bit is? It's a piece of metal. You put in the horse's mouth, and you have the rein on both sides of the mouth. So when you pull the horse to the left, the horse head will turn and he'll move to the left. You move him to the right, you pull him to the right, you move to the right, and you pull it back, you're hot, of course, you cannot move forward. But if you relax the rein and you just nudge the horse in the leg, you say, get up, and you move. You see, so the little bits control the horse, as James illustrated. And then he said also about the sheep. You know, it's a big sheep, you know how big a sheep is. And all that it takes to turn is just nothing but a rudder. The rudder is such a small little thing compared to the sheep. Is that right? Oh, is it the sheep master's, the helmsman? Is it a helmsman? Or the pilot, yeah. When he turns the sheep there, and the rudder behind pulled by cable, whatever, just turn to left, right, and the sheep will move. A small thing moved the whole big sheep. A small bit of horse's mouth moved the big horse. And this tongue of ours is so small in the whole body. If we cannot control this tongue, we cannot control the whole body. Oh, sometimes just think about that. So Paul, then James is going to say, therefore, don't be many masters. Because when you speak, we offend people. So we need to control this tongue. Even if you're so small, how small is small? What is that, for example, the 30 pieces of silver that Judas was paid to betray Christ? 30 pieces of silver, right? 30 pieces of silver is not very much. It's a small amount. For what? To put a man and condemn a man and betray a friend. And they're terrible. People are always looking at the small thing and don't even know what to do with it. Greed after it, lust after it. What about Mary? When she came in with a bottle, a small bottle of perfume to anoint the body of Christ. Small bottle, huh? Yeah, when the small bottle is cracked open, the perfume fills the room. Or what about the widow with her two mites? When she went to the temple, and she had two mites, and she put it into the offering box. Whereas all the other put a whole lot of money, a lot of noise. And Jesus said, she gave all that she had. That's all that she had. So, when you look at small things, it can be used for good and used for bad. Oh my. So sometimes when we help others, when others need help, a small help, can we go out of our way, have a little effort, a little time spent to help somebody? I really want to thank Sister Bali for, you know, doing just something like that. When we need to give some aid to others, she was willing to take the time and the effort to just go out of the way and do it. And I want to thank even Brother Jimmy and, you know, his family for doing whatever they have, put things, books in the house and sending out the books, cleaning up this place. All the little things that we can do, open up your home for fellowship in the past, you know.
That says a lot. And that's what love really is. The agape is that, can we take a little time off, a little effort, make, to help somebody.
Verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled.
And the tongue is a fire, a wall of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiled the whole body, that it defiled the whole body, and set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tame and have been tame of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now this is King James language. But in our modern language, modern translation, we try to get it more in the paraphrase form. Huh? Anybody have got an NIV here? And that will be different. Is that NIV there? Read that verse in NIV. If you were to read that in a modern text version, I find a few on the internet trying to find, because I don't have it. It's like the New English Bible. You know, the way that's said in this English form, not like the King James form, perhaps give a better understanding. You know, and even the Amplified New Testament. Alright, so if you look at verse 6, 7 and 8. How you read that in the King, New NIV, see whether you can get something out of that.
The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It condemns the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison.
Yeah. So others say the tongue is from hell. The tongue is a fire of hell. Because it is actually causes, you know, if you look at what happened in the world today, wars are caused and open up because somebody gives their own ideology from their mom and say this and say that. And you can get all these jihadis as death Israel! Obliterate Israel! You know, the hatreds of people, it's all from the heart, and therefore the mouth speaketh. Isn't it so? You know, when you talk about Israel, let me just say a little bit about that. Of all this that we see in the prophecy now, the world, Israel is the only country in the world, huh? It's the only nation in the world. That many people want it to be extinct, to be extinguished. They want to see Israel obliterated. No more in their system. Poop. But Israel is the only nation that have survived from ancient times. Did the Babylonian Empire exist today? No. Did the Roman Empire exist today? No. Did the Persian Empire exist today? No. Did the Median Empire exist today? No. Huh? Did the Egyptian really exist as a nation that it should be? No. Look at the problem they have. And yet Israel, as a people, never cease to exist. You can cast them all over the world and spread them out. When God says, I'll bring you back, God bring them back. And from now on, they will exist as a nation. Even though how small it may be, compared to all the others, how many percent, I can't remember how many percent, was it 12% or something like that, out of all those others, they want to put Israel to death. God's word is true. And we are living in that time. So, no matter what your tongue say, what their tongue say, it will still not come to pass. Now this tongue here, verse 5, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. A little fire kindled and burnt the whole house, burnt the whole temple, burnt the whole forest. And that's what he's trying to say. A world of sin, iniquity. And then it's in our tongue, it defiles the whole body. I don't know whether you are ever, when you get angry, you say something to somebody, then the whole body goes into it. You know, you feel sick after that, you feel that you should have said it. If you didn't, something is wrong with you. That means you are a robot. You don't have any feeling. You know. Because if we are God's people, we are children of God. We have this conscience that the Holy Spirit gives us. Yeah. Not just human conscience, but the conscience of the Holy Spirit working in us. Matthew chapter 12. And we see why the tongue behaved the way it behaved. Matthew chapter 12. And verse 34. Oh, generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Verse 36. For I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy word shalt thou be justified, and by thy word thou shalt be condemned. That's why I said it is important for us to say, the yea, yea, be yea, yea, nay, nay, be nay. So now it comes from the heart. So you know your tongue. You speak because it's inside your heart. It comes out into your mind. And it plays in your mind. When somebody offends you with something, now you want to get a battle of him. And you start to think in your mind, this. You start to think, have you ever do that? If somebody come up to you and try to help you understand something and correct your action, and you don't like to be corrected, you might defend yourself. And then you go home, you start thinking in your mind. That thing start going in your mind. Start mourning in your mind. Why did such a person say that to me? Why did he say that to me? Why did she say that to me? Why? And then you start thinking, and you don't think yourself as being wrong after all, even though you know you're wrong. So the thing going away in your mind. Because why? Here's the battlefield out here. But what fuel is? It's the heart. That's why Jesus said to these Pharisees, you generation of vipers. Huh? How can you be, how you being evil think good thoughts? The religious people never think good thoughts about Jesus Christ. The only good thought they have is, we have Moses. We have Abraham as our father. We have the prophets. And when Jesus said, greater than Solomon, he said, who do you think you are? Huh? Abraham was scared to see my dear. What? You know, they're always defensive about themselves, their knowledge about religion. But yet, what comes up from their heart is not right. You know how they try to present to Jesus Christ a woman who was caught in adultery? All they're interested in is, by the law, she must be put to death. Ah, no mercy. You see, that's the thing about it. What do we do? You see, you know, Barman preached about the greatest battle before. It's up here. That's the thing. You see, if you are a sinner at the beginning, you don't have a problem. Because there's only one thing in your heart. You are a sinner, you are not born again. Your spirit is an unborn spirit, it's a carnal spirit, a sensual spirit. So, what's wrong with how your desire comes to mind? Okay, no problem, do it. But one now you have become a Christian, the Spirit of God works in you to change you. That's what the Bible said, Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's here. Oh, I'm transformed. I'm born again.
Really?
Do you have this here being transformed? Transform. Be transformed by the renew. You have to renew it. How do you renew it? How do you make a new... You know, I was watching the documentary yesterday and about Japanese railway, the Japanese train. All those trains are old trains. They are exported to other Asian countries like Myanmar, Laos, Indonesia, Malaysia. And before they are sent over to them, they are renewed. You know what I mean by renewed? They put everything, make sure that the system works. Yes. Before they send it over. And the people, the other countries, they want to buy them, they went over there to make sure that everything is quality. Because the Japanese quality is there. But yet, they still want, must go. They check the aircon is working, the engine, everything. They overhaul it, they renew it. Of course, the shell is still the same. The seat is still the same. What they renew is the important part, the moves. Not breakdown. Your body is still the same. It's still your old body. Your John is still John. John doesn't change his face when he becomes a Christian. Right, Brother Gregory? You are always the same. You will never say, oh, I'm a Christian. Hey, my body must be changing also. No. The thing that you need to change is the inside. The thinking. And that's why when you renew your mind, what, how do you renew it? By the Word. Because the Spirit of God, the engineer that comes into you with His Word inside to change it, to renew it, renew it. Take the old things out of you. Say, what? You know when you get an engine old, worn out, huh? All the dirty parts accumulated with grease or whatever need to be cleaned up. Get me wrong. All the debris, all the bad things between the chopped the engine. Here you have. Here is the heart of your life, your engine. Huh? But before you can move it, you have to bring it up here. Whatever you think with your heart. But the brain is the one that says, okay, now I wanted to do this. Now I wanted to do that. Huh? So you see, your mind needs to be renewed. Absorb the Word of God. Take the Word of God into you and renew, change, transform by the renewal of mind. Or else it can never be. You see? So your thought is in the mind. And the mind, what you want to do, comes from the heart. And yet, what the mind think is how you do with the tongue. You speak. So if your mind is not renewed, you think about somebody bad, think all sorts of things, you will start to speak it. And you'll never fail. And you know, we already continue now, we see another thing right here. Let's go to Proverbs 6. We need to look at Proverbs 6 here. Proverbs chapter 6. And verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked person, walk with a forward mouth. Verse 14. Flowardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He sows discord. 16. These six things do the Lord hate. Yea, seven. Are an abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, a hand that shed blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that sow discord among brethren. See, a lying tongue, and one who sow discord because of what the heart is thinking. And that's what God hid. There are seven of them. Already, the tongue is already almost involved in two cases. A lying tongue, and then you start sowing discord. That's how, because of your tongue. And this is what God hid. So how do you get rid of this? You see, James is talking, or is writing, or was writing to the Christian, not the non-Christian. But simply stated that if you are truly born again, you must be changed. If you are not changed, that means you are not born again. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. And I think this is what we all do. Not everyone that come unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of God. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not many will say to me, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And this is what paragraph of scriptures that I think a lot of people don't seem to take heed to. Who was Jesus Christ talking about? People who know him, right? You agree with me? People who know him. And you can say to Jesus, Lord, Lord, we have done many wonderful works in your name. In your name we have cast out devil, right? Is that understood? You understand what he says? People who knew Jesus, be it a reverend, a high priest, a priest, a pastor, evangelist, or whatever, or any Christian who knew Jesus, do many wonderful work for Jesus Christ. But how come Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you? Not say just depart from me, I never knew you. How many people understand that? It's so clear in this verse. I never knew you. The word knew. What is the word to know? Knew is the past tense of to know. What is to know? The word here means to have intimate relationship. Like a man know his wife. If a man married a woman, and a woman sleep in one room, the man sleep in another room, and they are called Mr. and Mrs. Tan, or Mr. and Mrs. Jackson, or Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, or Ali, whatever it may be, and they never sleep together, are they husband and wife? Are they? No. Just they are pretending to be, only. When they invite my friend, when a man is invited by a friend for a party, he brings along his wife. This is my wife, Mrs. Tan. He says Ali or whatever. Really? This is hypocrisy. This is a play acting. And Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. But these people said, Lord, I have done this in your name. Sure. Did you know me? You say you know me? Yes. Because you know who I am, because I have been in existence for the last 2,000 years. But I never knew you. Simple. Right? Who is the president of Philippines? What the president of Philippines? Aquino. Aquino, name Aquino. You know him, right? But does he know you? That's the same question like that. Simple. We all know Lee Kuan Yew, but how many of us think that Lee Kuan knows you? Don't know. Even maybe you shake his hand. That's about all. Do he really know you? It's different. But I would say Lee Kuan Yew know his wife very well. And so his wife knew him very well. He said, that's different. And when we say, we know Jesus. Really? What way? That's what Jesus said in the same passage. You cannot come into the Father until you do the will of my Father. What is the will? It's to keep his word. That's so simple to understand. A lot of people don't keep the word of God. Oh yes, I believe in Jesus. He asked me to repent. I accept him as my Savior. So I must be a Christian. Really? I go to church every Sunday, you know. I give my tithes. So? I witness. So? You can do any wonderful work you want to. Like this man, these people claim. But Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me. Because you see, there must be a relationship between you and Christ. If there is no relationship, real relationship, I say real, huh? Not pretend. When you come to church, you'll be a Christian only on Sunday. Either from Monday to Saturday, you're not a Christian. That's different. That's, you know, why we need to have a relationship with Christ. And in order to do that, you must be truly born again. Born again. And you know, simple thing. When you're really born again, you have the Spirit of Christ coming to you. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus couldn't understand what it meant by being born again. Jesus had talked about the Spirit, how the Spirit moved. You know? And when the Spirit enters and quickens you, you must be a changed person. If not, then all you have is just a sensation. You thought it is. You know? Just like I have talked to many people that are witness to. You know? And I hear a few of them say this. You know, that time when Louis Palau, you remember Louis Palau came to Singapore? Yeah, I don't know, a great evangelist, great crusade. Came to Singapore and I was there and oh my, he gave the gospel and then he started to bring people, plead with people to go to the altar to give their life. Yeah, you know, it was so emotional. I went up there with so many hundreds of people standing there and we said a prayer, we just said, yeah, Lord, pray according to how we were told to pray. You know, Lord, forgive my sin, this and that. And I feel so good at that time, you know. But then after a while, it's just emotion. It just feel good. You know what I mean? Some people say, hey, let's go to church and feel good. And there are people in the world who are not Christian. A lot of young people out there, how to feel good? And let us go to the pub. And let us down ourselves with some glasses. Of spirit. And yet this spirit lead me high. Sure, isn't it? What kind of spirit do you want? The Holy Spirit or the spirit that is bubbling in the glass? You see? So, it's not emotion. It's the real thing. I pray that you understand that. Verse 9 to 10. Therewith blessed be God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Oh, that's true. See, the tongue is a fire sucked by hell. Actually, they call it devilish. Some translation called devilish tongue. Yeah, this tongue can be terrible, huh? Can kill a person, actually, even not just the eye staring. The tongue can kill a person by a word. So here, James is saying that we come to church, we say, praise the Lord. Next moment we go out there, you scold the fellow, you curse the person. You see, this tongue, it's just like a garden. You know a garden? I mean, I wish I have a garden. I mean, we all live in the apartment flat, we can't even have a garden. But I think, Sister, you have a garden, right? Your backyard, no? Backyard with a garden where you can plant things, your home? You don't have. Oh, what we have in the apartment flat is pots of plant, that's all. But if we really have a garden, let me say a garden, a pot is different, huh? But also the pot can be used. You know, you can put a pot with sand and just leave it out in the corridor. Don't put anything. And just wait for a few weeks and see what happened to the pot. You see, weeds are growing, right? Correct? You see, weeds are growing. So, now, that pot that grows, the weed that happened to grow there, you can also start planting your chaisin. Or you can even put cabbage there to grow, even carrot, and you will grow. Because that pot or that garden, if they can grow, weeds can grow. Nice plant for you. Vegetables. Correct? It's just one pot. So the tongue is just like that. It can serve two purposes. But which purpose do you want to serve? You want a pot of sand to of soil to grow vegetable for you, or your garden to grow vegetable, or you want to just let it there and let it grow wild weeds? And the time is just the same. It's under our control. The garden is under our control. The pot of soil is under our control. The tongue is under your control. You know, same thing about the tongues. One time, as I said before, they wrote me an email. But again, you're not preaching the truth. You're not preaching what Brother Bam said. Blah, 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 blah. Then I reply him. Next moment he comes and says, "You are a devil." He never called me a brother. He said, "You are a devil." So this man doesn't know why he's talking. One moment he called me a brother. Next moment he, with the same tongue or hand as a pen, called me a devil. So can a man be a brother and a devil? If a man who called me a brother, next moment he called me a devil, then he had me a devil for his brother. Only thing is, you know, I won't call a person a devil. I just call him, "You're misled. You're a false preacher. That's all you are." Then just think about it, you know. It's just all in our mind. What our heart thinks, what our mind thinks, comes out in the mouth. So let us not be, and this is true about the mouth, what we speak about cursing. You know, what we should not be is that we should not be willful, self-centered, self-indulging. When we feel hard about ourselves, then we are in trouble. Romans 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. They are all gone astray. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, no one, you see. No one do good. That's what I said, that there's no such thing as that we are all born into the world good. I disagree with some of the preachers who say that men are generally born good. No, men are never generally born good. We are all born bad. We are all born bad. That's not good. We are all born in sin. Now how can it be good? It's a society that manipulates us. The society we conform to. So if you are in India, you sit down on the floor and eat with banana leaf in some places, right? Huh? If you are in China, probably you'll be squatting by the roadside on a stool and eating your porridge with a bowl with a chopstick. Isn't it true? So it's a culture that changes. So there's none good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sarcophagus. Their throat, their mouth open up. It's a, you know what a sarcophagus is? It's a grave. It's a tomb where, you know, you people, you dead are inside there. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of apes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Oh yes, proud, the spirit of jealousy, envious of others, always some indulgence. And James said, don't do that. Matthew 15, verse 18. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 to 20. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with a washed hand defile not a man. This Jesus was talking to the religious leader, who said, how come your disciples did not wash the hand before they eat? Jesus Christ said, nothing wrong with that. What goes in the mouth comes out the other end. Because we have two ends. One end goes in, one end goes out. That's about it. But what comes out from the mouth does not come out from the other end. It comes from the heart. You see. How people speak, that's come from the heart. The evil thinking and all the pride, the envy. Oh my. You know, see how the religious people, how proud they are. We wash our head before your disciples wash the hand. How can it be? Where did that come from? The wash your head did not come from the Bible. It did not come from Moses' law. It all came from tradition. And that's what it is. Verse 11. Do a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and flesh? I think that is just plain common sense. Is it not true? Can you have a fountain? Now I tell you what, when I went with Zhao to Japan the last time, we were at a strange station and we came across there was this little shallow place and people were selling things to. There was a little fountain, spring water on the roadside. My goodness, the water was so sweet and so nice. Free of charge, just flowing out, came on flowing. You know. We came back, we used to drink it. Oh my, just so nice. But of course, that spring water, it cannot something. He said, taste one moment sweet, next moment it's salty. They never do that. Unless somebody puts salt in it. Huh? You see. So the same thing, a fig tree cannot bear berries. Neither bears you grapes, you know, vine. Neither a vineyard produce fig. No, you can't. Of his own kind that produce. So if we are the kind from God, we must produce the right kind of fruit. Simple as that. And that James was so concerned with these Jews because first of all, they were also, they were Jewish tradition from the faith that they have in Judaism. You understand that? It can be very, very much following the ways of the Pharisees or the Sadducees and the traditions. You know. And that James also concerned with how that they should conduct themselves because there is a change, but they do not know how to act now. What should we do? Because this man is struggling. But James was reminding them all the simple thing. Who is a wise man? Who is a wise man? Endure with knowledge among you. Let him show of a good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. Who is a wise man? What do you mean by a wise man? What is meaning? What is wisdom? Like him, it says here, the last part. Like him show of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Conversation. You know what is conversation? Conversation means your manner of life. How you live your life. Conversation is, you know, your life speaks. You don't have to converse. Your life speaks. Your witness. Let me see. Let's go to some verses of scripture. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I'll just close and continue another part because this part here belongs to another part, to verse to chapter 5. Okay, Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. You see, he used the word Jews' religion. Okay. It's no longer, so Paul was no longer in Jewish religion, but formerly he was in the Jewish religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited it and profited in the Jewish religion above many my equal in my own nation, being more exceedingly jealous of the tradition of my fathers. Oh, Paul was very religious, alright. Huh? He was so religious that he was out there persecuting the church of God and wasted it. Just imagine that. Huh? So what now? He was telling the truth. That he was even above all those who were equal with him. He was even more zealous, more envious of his religion and his faith, that he was willing to do the thing that he did against the believer or the people of the way. So what is being wise? What is wisdom? No? What he says, the conversation, his work with meekness of wisdom. Wisdom here is, well, common sense, better common sense. But the common sense here is to have your life, to live your life according to that frame of mind that is Christ. Let him show out of a good conversation, living your life, that is, his work, manifesting that which is him as a Christian, with the meekness of wisdom, with that simplicity, the humbleness of one whose mind is filled with the knowledge of God, able to live the kind of life that is common sense, that is right and peaceful. That is what James is imparting. So in closing, what do we have as Christians, as believers? Do we continue to walk in the Word of God as He wants us to? Really, really manifesting Jesus Christ? Be sensitive to others, be, well, in control of our behavior? How we should handle ourselves every day in what we say, how we manifest ourselves in our action? You know, God is not true with us. He's not true with us. We still have a little time, and God is still purging us, chastising us to come to that place where we really are humble. Humble ourselves, be at peace with another one another, be loving, full of agape, love. So let us in this time at least show some brotherly kindness one towards another, taking heed how we walk in Christ Jesus, that we might glorify His name. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, O God. A people that are always, Father, in need of your hand to guide us, feeding us, no matter what, Father, in this world, the thing that we see happening. And in our relationship, O Father, with one another, if we are hurt by words spoken, whether the brother or sister married or not, help us to be at peace, O Father. And you have to give us wisdom and how to help the other person to understand. We know, Lord, a church is a people that's not perfect. We are from different backgrounds of life, different tradition of behaving and cultural behavior in the family that we were born into, whether it be Indian, whether it be Chinese, whether it be Americans, O Lord, or the African. Yet, Father, as family of Christ, all this tradition and approach, O Lord, should no longer be. That we should enter into the body of Christ as one family, and only in the Word of God that we understand, Lord, to be able to live by and to help one another, Lord. We can only help one another with the Word of God as we live the Word of God. So Father, grant us the grace to do it. We ask for your blessing, Father, this day. And all that hear the Word and understand, Father, bless them all. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.